Welcome to the Perry Johnson Registrar's Food Safety Inc. podcast, where you can expect the latest news and discussions relevant to both the food safety industry as well as cannabis and hemp. Today's episode is a previously recorded webinar. If you would like to tune in to our upcoming webinars, visit our website at www.pjrfsi.com/webinars or give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in.
Hi, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Perry Johnson Registrar's Food Safety webinar, the intro to organic and GMP certification. My name is Brett McMillan. I'm the Cannabis and Hemp Division Manager for the Perry Johnson Companies, and I'm also joined today by Rachel Winter, who's our Organic Program Manager, and also Michael Shea of Access QMS and Upshot Incorporated. Welcome, everybody. So the goal here today, if you're listening, tuning in, is to go over an overall introductory view of our organic program, which also includes hemp and CBD products. And also, typically, this leads into GMP certification, which we do for the cannabis and hemp industries, as well as traditional food. So Rachel, why don't you kind of introduce yourself, tell us how the organic program's been going, and we can take a look at some of your slides.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Brett. So yeah, like Brett said, I am the Organic Program Manager here at Perry Johnson. I came on in, I believe, June of this year, and it's been going awesome. I've just been able to work with a lot of great clients and just continue my knowledge of organic. I have previous experience in food safety, so getting to combine organic and food safety has been great experience. And I just wanted to go through a little bit of our scopes. We currently at Perry Johnson do crop and we do processing. And this is a great combination to get somebody certified as crop and then lead them into a processing GMP certificates if needed. And I'm going to share my slides. So this webinar we did in September, if you guys want to go back and check it out, I'm going to go through a little bit more of that today. We're going to talk about crop and processing. And I'm going to go on to the next slide. So this I just wanted to share with everybody, just a one-on-one of what organic certification process looks like. You fill out an application with us, and then you pay your fees and whatnot, and then we start your organic system plan review process, where you fill out our organic system plan and fill out a bunch of paperwork and just the nitty-gritties there and share certificates and whatnot, and we get a deep dive of what's really going on with your facility, whether it's crop or processing. And then we have an inspection, and then we have a final review, which this process is a little bit different for food safety programs. And then after your final review, hopefully you guys get your certificate, and then we start the process over and over again for the following years. So it's just a little different, but it gives you a good thorough deep dive of what your guys' system looks like. And I just wanted to share a little bit about, for organic, the labeling is a lot more complex, and there's some really great resources out there for you guys, and this is one of them that the USDA has created. And there's also some other examples of great resources in the guidance document in the NOP 5033 and NOP 5034 for processing. And those just really help give you guys some general information instead of just reading the regulations. And when it comes to filling out and getting prepared for your organic certification, I just want to give you guys a little bit of general briefing. For crop, you're really looking at your soil fertility and crop management processes, your pesticide disease management, and also the three-year rule, which the three-year rule is that you cannot have prohibited substances on your land for 3 years prior to certification. I know we get quite a few questions about that. And then regarding processing and handling, you'll want to take a deep dive into pest control, your sanitation, and your ingredients that you're bringing in to your guys' facility. And we get a lot of questions, NOP versus USDA, that can be somewhat confusing. So I just want to give you a little bit of general knowledge. The NOP has authority from the USDA to have regulatory oversight. They accredit the organic certifying agents, such as ourselves at Perry Johnson, take appropriate legal action to enforce the organic standards, organic standards, and protect the integrity of that. And then the Code of Federal Regulations is where you guys are going to find the quote code that you guys refer to, such as your general GMP code, but our organic code is the Code of Federal Regulations. Any questions so far, guys?
No, this sounds great. Yep. I know labeling is important, you know, and especially with, you know, CBD products, which isn't necessarily in this slide deck, but for those of you that are tuning in, when you're manufacturing CBD products and you're managing your GMP program, you also definitely want to make sure your labeling is correct, because the FDA will definitely come back on you depending on how that's notated. But we can dive a little deeper into that later on.
Yeah, for sure. And another thing that's really important for organic, just like as we talk about in your GMP certificates, is documentation, documentation, documentation. Constantly keeping track of your formulas, your technical data sheets, your SDS sheets. Just that is what's very key when it comes to becoming certified of any form. And GMP is a really great certificate, I believe, to just get you started to become to have the organic certificate. It really gives you a great foundation of just what it looks like to keep documented records. You start with a supplier approval process. You start getting familiar with the pest control process as well as sanitation to really get you set up and prepared for an organic certificate. And I am a full believer that getting your GMP certificate prior to your organic certificate would really benefit you as well. And a little bit, Brett, I can touch on for organic when it comes to cannabis hemp. There are regulations that you have to have
0.03% or less THC
in your product. And it's very important to make sure you check out your regulations, the state that you're in, to make sure that you're complying with their regulations as well. I've probably seen a little bit of that in the past as well. Check out their labeling regulations and whatnot.
Absolutely. You know, while we're talking about GMP and you brought up the importance of documentation, that's really a big point for obviously for organic as its own, but also, you know, for GMP, for our cannabis GMP program. And I wanted to kind of reintroduce Michael here and kind of, Michael, why don't you tell us about Access and Upshot? Because, you know, we've worked with you with other clients for their documentation, and, you know, we're certainly not the only certification body out there, and you guys certainly aren't the only, you know, the only company out there. But I think kind of going over your company and what you do is an important resource and, you know, something for people to consider.
Well, thank you for having me, Brett. I appreciate that. Basically started Access QMS in 2003. And started Upshot in 2013. I'm the president of both, but basically Access QMS was a way to have subject matter experts for contract one-on-one with any company who wanted to go into quality management systems or any kind of management systems where ISO applies or GMP applies. Upshot has taken a sort of a lead in the way we provide everyone with that service now, because we've come up with a bunch of additions specifically geared to provide the documentation for any given standard, whether it's an ISO standard or whether it's a GMP for good manufacturing practice. Or also wanted to mention really good, Brett, is that Perry Johnson has come out with the PGRFSI cannabis safety standards and also for hemp. So it's a really great standard that incorporates GMP as well as good agricultural practices. And basically, we've been doing this for a long time, and we've built hundreds of them. So we know where a lot of the issues lie for getting things on board and putting documentation together so that a company can actually have the exactitude of how they're performing on a daily basis be also fitting and meeting the requirements of either regulatory or mandates from customers or the marketplace.
Awesome. So, you know, kind of the tone of our webinar here, our talk is, you know, more intro level for folks that are getting a GMP certification and or organic. And you're right, Rachel, it seems like most of the trend is typically folks will get their GMP situation first and then do organic. I mean, that's not the case every time, but I think there are some, you know, crossovers and some things to consider. And usually those folks don't have those things in place. And Michael, I wanted to ask you, what's been your experience when folks are you know, coming to you or coming to a system to get those things in place? You know, where are they usually at in the process? Is it a mess? Do they have old documents? Or what types of scenarios are you fixing and helping them with?
Well, basically, we're trying to help them to build a, you know, a truly useful GMP documentation package, you know, quality management system, basically. And the reason for that is to help them get up and running with what they're currently doing and sort of put everything together. What I'm finding, especially with working with PGRFSI standard and the GMP in cannabis and hemp, and I'm sort of focusing on that because that's where the mainstay of our GMP work is done, whether it's dietary supplements or food or pharmaceutical level. What I'm finding is that everyone has a lot of standard operating procedures that they're required to have to apply for and get a license on whatever side of the fence of cannabis in different states, and the laws are requiring different things in different states. So they would normally try to take all their SOPs for obtaining a license and then, you know, feel that they're ready to go for a GMP certification, which is more operationally driven. What I have seen in the, I would say, CBD world, for instance, is that a lot of people are advertising that they're GMP compliant or they have a cert, but they are only, it's their facility only, which is only a portion of GMP certification. More importantly, it should be dedicated to not only the facility, but also the operation itself, so that the safeties, you know, are there and consumers can feel, you know, sort of in a good way about it, right? So I often find that they're kind of disorganized. They have a lot of SOPs, but there's no documentation that sort of leads them into a living system that they use on a day-to-day basis. And so that's what we have tried to do, is provide that kind of mechanism for them to be up and running and use what they do to what is required to then have documentation and then prove it through an audit or assessment or inspection. Can I answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, that's really important. I wanted to bring up the question of timing for all this. You know, a company's coming on board, they've, you know, committed to a you know, like a system like an Upshot or an Access or one of the other ones that are out there. What have you seen with your clients you've been working with? How long does it take to sort of embrace, you know, a new system and implement it and get everybody to buy in? Is it different with every company, or?
That's a really great question, because a lot of it has to do with how they perceive what they're getting into, okay? Oftentimes people are gung-ho about it, but in my experience, I've seen almost like a shock to the system. You know, and Rachel had mentioned documentation for the organic piece was absolutely on point. Same thing for GMP or good agricultural practices or quality or whatever it is. And they're really kind of like a deer in the headlights about it. Other companies are really on board and really committed. I think there are three really essential things for that commitment, which is first, you have to have, you know, we got to get GMP. You might hear that from, let's say, the president of the company or whatever. And that's the commitment the top management has to make. The second thing that's to be considered is who will head up the project within the organization. And are they high enough in the organization to ensure, as you just said, Brett, buy-in from the personnel when they implement this documentation? And the third thing that I think is important is that does the personnel understand what's written down? So with our clients, we've had clients that, you know, start it and then stop for a long time because other priorities. Then we have other clients that are all about it. And our systems are designed the way we've done this here. They're designed to be done within 45 business days or less. And that's a full turnkey system, meaning that we have documentation, all the things they need to get the certification if implemented and performing correctly, and also the consulting on how to get there. And we do that remotely so that there, no one's in their business or you don't have to, you know, purchase another plane ticket and expense to get them out there. There's no travel costs, things of that nature. And then you also have the option, as in this webinar, to record it so that your personnel can then be trained on what they're getting into. And I think that's really important. And it has to be very plain speak. Our philosophy is basically next step, next step, next step, which is usually a workflow. So that's probably the best way to handle it instead of just restating what the requirements are and then putting procedures together and then putting it on a shelf, let's say,
right,
until an inspector comes in or an auditor comes in and pulling it down and making sure everything's there and then going, we got through that audit again, and then putting it back up. The idea, in my opinion, and we've built hundreds of these things over the years, so we have collectively in our three partners about 60 plus experience doing it. And what we've seen is that all this stuff is very scalable as long as you can meet the requirement. So you can mirror the exactitude of what you're doing, modify it if it needs to meet the requirement, and carry on like you always do, because you want to be able to capture what works well,
right,
for the company prior to even thinking about this. If it's working, that's great. So then you look at the requirements and you say, oh, are these compatible right now, or are they working together, or is one a little bit needs adjustment, or things of that nature? And I think that type of expertise is why, like, let's say a third-party consulting scenario is always a good one, because the
right
expertise is there and things of that nature. So,
and that brings up a good point. So, Rachel, what have been your experiences with the clients that are coming on board organic? I know that, you know, some of the folks I work with seem to have a grasp of it, and, you know, other folks seem to not. What's been your experience with how ready the clients are, especially, you know, on the front end?
Yeah, I would say we have about 50-50. Generally, I've been seeing a lot of clients who are just starting fresh, trying to learn, going straight into organic, which I feel like they would benefit from more, like I said, of a GMP certificate, just really to get them to the base and then to get them to organic. And then we've also seen people who've worked with consultants to learn organic as well. And then we do have some clients who have really put in the time and effort to really dive deep into those, into the code, as I call it, the NOP 205. Or also just the guidance documents. So we really have a pretty wide range that I feel like it'd be great to get more clients ready to go on that, ready to start the organic process, to not have any hiccups, just to make sure we're getting their certificate in a timely manner as well. So
what are you seeing for kind of after they get going? What are some typical corrective actions or trends that you see that are, you know, the usual issues versus something that's unique or a one-off?
We have seen issues from them not providing enough documentation, not having the correct label, like how they if they aren't putting certified by Perry Johnson at the bottom, they have potentially their own USDA seal. They are repackaging products from a already organic product, and they don't know how to label the ingredient statement correctly.
Gotcha. The labeling's key.
Yeah, labeling's key. Labeling's where we get a lot of hookups. I'm really excited because we are recently going towards more of an electronic organic system plan, organic documentation process there. And I'm really hoping that that will clear up a lot of nonconformances, just get us all on the same page as well.
Okay, great. And Michael, I know we talked a little bit about this before, but what have you seen with companies that have, you know, implemented a third-party system? They've gone through some audits, or they've gone through their first GMP audit. I mean, we're all human. There might still be some corrective actions to deal with. What are you seeing, like, post-audit, that even with a third-party system, folks might be coming up short or having some sort of an issue with?
Well, I think that's a really good point, because that's what does happen oftentimes. And I think it's performance related, meaning that the company and the employees who are involved, if they don't understand why they're doing this as a company, other than let's get a certification on the wall so we can get more profits going or meet a state regulation in the world of cannabis, right? They get sort of lazy about it or lackadaisical, right? So the idea is that once you can incorporate this documentation in a sense to be part of you, in a sense, on a daily basis, where it just becomes part of you and you don't have to look up everything. Of course, you would be able to know where to look it up, however the company's structured and where they put it. But the idea here is that they have issues, and that if they have to go looking for something, they usually don't. I mean, there's just there's the human nature of things.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So the bottom line here is that, you know, you really should understand why you're doing this. I think one of the greatest things of doing this, GMP or ISO or any of these type of standards, or even though, except when it's a regulatory or a customer demand, they're voluntary, which means that you're voluntarily trying to tighten your business, run like a well-oiled machine. So as you just asked Rachel about corrective action, people know when something goes wrong and then how to mitigate it and fix it. It's really important that people know this kind of stuff. So I've seen a lot of people jumping into it, certain like a quality manager or a compliance officer, they'll be really into it. And they'll say, well, I'm trying to get, you know, Frank or Bob or whatever going with this, but they're just not, you know, doing what they're supposed to do. So it's, I think, a question of embracing it as seeing it as more of a legal system. Because you have traceability in this documentation. If something goes wrong and a product is no good, or just something is tainted, you have a way with a recall plan. You know what to do before, you know, the FDA or whoever comes down on you or shuts you down for a minute or a state or whatever. So if you think about it like a legal system, it holds legal protection, plus helps your operation run as smooth as silk for most cases. And when something goes wrong, you know what to do about it. You're pretty much golden. So that's one of the things I think is really important, is that people buy into this, not because, oh God, we have to do this, but more or less like, oh, if we do this, then we'll be straight and we can just do our job kind of thing. But that seems to be a difficult thing to get going. That's the biggest difficulty that quality managers or consultants or even auditors, I would say, have to deal with, you know?
Yeah. And Michael, I feel like in my previous experience as a quality manager, I always tried to sit down with everybody and explain to them, like, this is what we're planning on doing. This is why we're doing it. And this is a preventative action, such as putting a new requirement to no longer have false fingernails or whatever. And then it ends up the reason we're doing this is so we don't have a potential customer complaint and whatnot on our end, or just something similar. Just trying to explain them why this rule is going into place, what is this preventing, and how this can make us better.
Right.
I just want to say nobody likes finding false fingernails in their.
No, they do not.
Well, that's funny you mention that, Brett, because I often mention to the GMP clients that we're used to with the cannabis and hemp. I said, have you heard of GMP? What the heck is GMP? Good manufacturing practices, and we can get into that in more depth. But I say, do you eat Lay's potato chips or whatever brand? And they'll say, yeah. I said, well, what if it had not good manufacturing that weren't safe to eat? There's all kinds of crap in it. You don't know what's in there. Well, I wouldn't eat them then. I said, aha, that's it. So it's, I really put it in a very basic thing. Would you use Dove soap or whatever? Just so that people realize that their product is important. And it's really, it's kind of important to make sure that everybody has safety and efficacy and all kinds of things, depending on whatever it is, that they can rely on the product and they don't have to, constantly revisit the problem.
Exactly. So, the folks that are listening in, I think you've gotten the feeling here that good manufacturing practices have been around a long time in a lot of industries, obviously with food and cannabis and CBD and hemp, and most companies have a positive attitude about it versus just wanting a certificate on the wall. But as Michael said, there are folks that feel that way out there, and you have to have company buy-in. It's the right thing to do. If I was an investor in a company, I would absolutely ask if they were GMP certified, and these things are important to limit recalls, bad labeling claims, the FDA coming back. So, documentation and a good, having a good documentation system and a good quality system in place is, going to be very important to these moving forward, because I think you are too, probably, Rachel, in the industry, and Michael, is the concept of GMP as an acronym and kind of a hot topic. It's growing. It's out there. I think more people are becoming familiar with it, at least as a term, and hopefully tuning into to webinars like ours so that they can learn about it. Well, good. Rachel, how else is everything going with organic? You were talking about the production side versus crop. How are you seeing with folks that are actually, making the organic products, if you will, and kind of a crossover into GMP? I would think a lot of that is, there's a lot of crossover there. So if somebody's thinking about getting GMP and organic, they don't have to necessarily reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, for sure. Especially in the production and GMP side, it's pretty seamless, because in GMP, you already have your pest control practices in place. And most of the time, you don't have your roticides in-house. That's pretty universal GMP regulation. So pest control, you're generally already prepared. And then sanitation, you might need to do a little bit of more research on if you're using quat sanitizer. There's some regulations there versus a chlorine base, but you're already in the general routine of doing sanitation, and then you already have a supplier assurance program, and you might need to just tweak it to get organic products incoming as well, and you'll be getting the organic certificates and whatnot. And and then also generally in a GMP program, you have receiving and shipping practices, which is also another thing that organic touches base on, where it's similar to an allergen program, where you're trying to not prevent contact with other allergens. For organic, you're looking at organic and non-organic products to not be coinciding in your shipment or touching and whatnot. And then as well for GMP, you have, and GMP and organic, which is similar, you have storage practices which are developed in your GMP process. Again, same for allergens. You want to have allergens, but for organic, you want to have all organic product in your storage practices as well. those are kind of the rundown of what's similar. It just really gives you a great basis of having food safety, but also organic practices. And good. Also, I find this interesting when I started this organic journey, that whenever you have an organic certificate, you're very less likely to not have a recall because you're having another inspector come and just get another look, and you're doing additional practices to really minimize the risks and whatnot. So
good.
That was pretty.
Well, folks, I think we're just about at our time here. Michael, I want to say thanks so much for coming on board and giving us an insight to your company and what those experiences are and how that can, you know, help people here listening. Rachel, as always, great talking to you about organic, and you've been doing a great job. And so thank you, and, you know, keep it up. And to those of you that are tuning in, we wanted to say thank you. And if you have any questions, concerns, you want to reach out to Michael or Rachel directly, just give us an email at our PJRFSI website, and we'll talk to everybody soon.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Brett, for having me on. I really appreciate it. And, you know, I think that Rachel, we had a really good point. I think that being organic and GMP is probably your best bet. That's what I think. So for whatever that's worth.
Well, I think that's a good point to close it out on. And thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you all soon.
Okay. Have a good day, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.